Alright, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. Still just presenting, because producing is too much work. So, yeah. But that's sort of the thoughts running through the head. It's how to make this more relevant. And there's really no good ways to imagine, you know, a strategy. You know, it just has to do with setting yourself on fire or something. It's all antics, you know, for the... It's like, who's the puppet and who's the audience? You know, it's like the crazy people, you know, are on the outside, and the sane people are in the asylum kind of situation. So, it's hard to be one of them. You know, it's hard for me to relate to you. So it makes all of this very difficult. So I did mention in the last video, I guess, the idea that I'd, you know, some point, you know, I'd like to put this into some sort of format that's more modern. The video game, for example. Some sort of interactive blah blah whatever that would engage the audience in listening to ideas besides just talking to other humans, because, you know, a lot of people just can't relate to, hey, I'm listening to another person talk about what's in their head, and not too many people find that fascinating. Now, I can still do that, but it's getting so difficult to find anybody who isn't talking complete shit. I mean, just shit. It's just, you know, it's all this wooey-verse kind of, you know, everything's going somewhere and something, you know, there's all kinds of, you know, just all the bullshit. Even like the free will subject, they say these stupid, old, tired, crappy lines about how, you know, well, if we don't have free will, then you can't punish criminals. And it's like, it's not what it's about. Identifying that something doesn't work, right, a criminal, who cares why he doesn't work? I mean, the fact is it doesn't work. The thing doesn't work. You have to behave to things that don't work differently than you behave towards things that do work. You know, I can give you millions of examples, but yeah, if your car doesn't work, you don't just sit there and say, oh, well, it doesn't have free will. What the fuck? No, you fix it. Or, you know, if it's going to blow up, you put it in a box somewhere, you know, or you do to drive it into somebody else's driveway. You don't just sit there and pretend, you can't do anything. Ugh, it's too stupid. So that's just, it's just one little aspect of the whole, you know, every argument gets polluted by just crappy nonsense. So I'm trying to think of some other ones that, you know, just the crap that people come up with. I mean, on the subject of consciousness. Now, yeah, okay, consciousness is a little bit strange. I can't say I could realize, understand it as a mechanical process until, you know, the last decade, somewhere in there, where... Yeah, it became a lot more understandable to say something like, it's just a byproduct of the function, okay? This is what the brain does. It creates a feeling. Because feelings, being alive, being conscious, it seems more-ish than just some sort of computer program, you know, just some sort of complication of the bits. But that's all it is. It's just, you know, nobody else perceives my sensations. They're just something happening inside my brain. It's just a synthetic boogeyman my brain creates. And, you know, the Einstein line comes to mind is that it's one hell of a simulation, you know. And that's it. It's, yeah, okay. It's just, the fact is that it's there, and it, you know, there's no reason to apply some other meaning to it, like it's a little sparkly thing, and if you either have the sparkly thing or you don't have the sparkly thing, you know, whatever. I guess that's part of, I didn't have any definition for it. I just thought it had to be something, but I knew it wasn't a sparkly thing. I mean, all the things I knew it wasn't, you know, and people are still talking that kind of shit, and, you know, it's just, And they seem to generate more interest on the internet, which I guess is just a byproduct of, you know, it's people with leisure, okay, that are on the internet in the first place, I suppose. There's a profile of internet people, and, you know, they're young and silly, you know, so, and sort of the, you could almost argue that some of the commercials indicate that. Because they're not very intelligent commercials. But anyway, I mean, they're obviously catered towards audiences to some extent, so the commercials are sort of a reflection of who they're assuming they're talking to. And the assumption is a pretty, you know, small-minded creature. So I'll take a pause and see if I can take this somewhere. I really just don't have specifics. I mean, I can't say, well, this is what I want to do, and then just do it. You know, in terms of a strategy of making some sort of object, you know, some sort of software, some sort of thing, in which I can say what the pieces would be that would engage people, because I keep thinking in terms of what would be interesting to me, and right there you've already, you know, fuck it, that's not going to work, because obviously I don't share people's interests, you know, many people's, so I'm already, a not average person, you know, looking at it through my eyes is not going to work. I have to put on, you know, moron glasses and then look at it and say, is it a good idea or a bad idea? That kind of thing. It's a lot of time and energy. And I haven't devoted that because I have, I'm busy with other stuff, frankly. Stuff I think is important. You know, most morons don't. All right, so I was thinking about the other thing I have mentioned here or there is that it'd be nice if the internet profiled us. You know, is that every time you saw a screen name, you could just click on it and you could see a profile of the person who's commenting or saying something. And the profile would be something that indicated what was their answer to these 10 questions, or 100 questions would be even better. And just to get an idea of, you know, what kind of monster, you know, are you attempting interaction with? That would be very interesting for a lot of sociological reasons also. I mean, if we profiled people better, we could better understand what people actually wanted out of their democracy and what they actually wanted as laws, and all of that crap would become much richer. To just make more sense to me as a part of being a citizen or being part of a civilization or being part of a society, this would be like sort of a necessary feature, that who you are be represented, as a statistical entity, as a meaningful group, and it would be understood who would be, the political parties would either match or not match your questions, and you could know exactly how much representation you're actually going to get out of them, and how meaningful it's going to be. But the questions really have to be, you know, in themselves meaningful and carefully phrased and all of that. But it would be interesting to know exactly, like, say, if you had a question like, if you could, without causing any physical pain and suffering, annihilate all life on Earth by pressing a button, would you press it? Yeah. It would be really great to know exactly how many people on Earth would say yes to that. And then you can just do the steps down from that, in terms of, if you could, press a button and, make your neighbor sterile, would you? Obviously it has to be more specific to knowing who the hell the neighbors are. But just the idea of, getting some indication about how invested people are and what they're invested in. I mean, are they invested really in their life and their little story? Are they really invested in other people writing their silly stories way into the future? And they're going to be silly relative to you. If the question came up, would I spend $1 trillion, right? Would I want the United States government to spend $1 trillion if, let's say, Islam was sinking into the sand, like all the Islamic countries were just, going to just disappear? What's the honest answer? I mean, do I need to save Islam? No, fuck Islam. Fuck Christianity. I mean, those kind of questions would be interesting. If you could annihilate Christianity from the history of mankind, I mean, just knowledge of this silly story, this bullshit narrative, would you do it? And, certainly I would say yes, because this is just a silly distraction. So, to bring up some of the other channel's conversation about physics, a couple of important characters in, physics, Leibniz and Newton, they wasted a whole bunch of time arguing about God's motivations, and whether you're respecting God or not, by arguing that the universe needs constant maintenance, or that the God created a perfect universe that doesn't need any maintenance at all. Because the plagues automatically happen and all the crap that, gives us character automatically happens, so we don't have to do any, we don't have to kill each other because nature would do it anyway. Some kind of bullshit like that. And it's like, you're just saying, here are two really good brains in terms of doing logic and being able to put puzzles together, and they're just wasting their time on a fucking, Teletubby puzzle. I mean, it's just so beneath their intelligence to be wasting time arguing about whether God would be pleased. Shit. Who's better representing, God's interests? These are just, it's just like basic crap about understanding, practical utility in terms of function and how much of humans, their function is just destroyed by all these distractions and all the bullshit, that they've made meaningful that isn't meaningful at all. And, how it apparently allows them to pretend they're winning. So, the other thought just stuck in my head this week was just, I read a book, a history book, science mostly, but anyway, and it went into great detail, at least great, very eloquent, very well stated description of the bleak horror, of England in 1600s, from say 1620 to 1670. It's just a terribly bleak existence. I mean, plague and fires, and the place was a shithole, a stinking, festering, rotting, diseased place. And it just, more people actually, more people died than were born actually in the city. And, you know, your life expectancy was shit. The whole thing was, it was just disgusting. And you're just saying, how did people endeavor to persevere? I mean, how did they, I mean, what was the motivation? What kind of, you know, and this is in a circumstance where they fight wars and do all this other kind of crap. And you're saying, where's even the motivation to give a shit? You know, they're cutting the heads off kings, you know, in the public square. I mean, it's just, you're just like, what? Well, anyway, how do people endure this? I mean, how do they endure watching their kids die and watching their wife die, watching all this shit happen and just keep marching through it? And so it's the endeavor to persevere thing, I guess. It's just the idea is that what's the option? Doesn't seem very appealing, being one of the victims yourself. And so you evade it, you know, you hop over it. But how people hopped over it with this bullshit, that's the part that amazes me. That they could hop over it with some sort of enthusiasm, like they're going somewhere, you know, like they're triumphant, when it just seems to me that all you would be is lamenting the dismal failure of the whole thing and how this whole enterprise is disgusting. You would think they would let go of any dopey religion that said there's something wrong with not having kids. I mean, it just seems like the obvious answer is you know, don't make more victims. And why doesn't that obvious answer occur to them? It's just like, you know. I mean, it occurred to me at, you know, like six. Oh, you know, it's just, I just don't get it. I mean, I definitely wouldn't hit the make a copy of me button. So I wouldn't even sentence myself. I certainly wouldn't sentence myself to play. And I'm generous enough not to sentence anyone else to it. Shit. I guess I shouldn't say it's generosity, because again, the core of the philosophy is my own repugnant horror at just contemplating the fact that I would be born and I would be as dumb as you fuckers. And that scares the shit out of me, living one of your ignorant, stupid lives. Fuck, it could be so much worse. I could be ignorant. You know, I could be one of those glib assholes, just keeps doing this disgustingly stupid, you know, sticking head up ass crap. Oh, no. So, you know, a big part of it is just that, yeah, I mean, if I could really believe it was just you being tortured by you, then I'd say, fine, go ahead and torture yourself. But obviously I know better. I know it's just a brain function. And it's the same computer, you just programmed it really badly. And so, yeah, it makes, you know, fart sounds and smells instead of doing any good computing kind of thing. All right, so take a little break. All right, something that occurred to me to wonder about was exactly, like, if you took all the stuff that's called life on Earth, so, like, you could have some diagram of where you're going to begin, and obviously you would end with something like a human being. So something like a paramecium and above or whatever, some sort of machine that, you know, wiggles through the biosphere. And I was just wondering, you know, what the average lifespan is. You know, I mean, what if you took all of the stuff that's alive on Earth, it goes from the process of hatching to dying. You know, what is the average lifespan in terms of, I guess you'd have to go, see, if you go by mass, you're sort of cheating, right? Because obviously one human is billions, hundreds of billions of single-celled living things. I mean, you know, they are alive, they are independent little cells, like every one of your blood cells. You know, they just don't have a whole lot of they don't do much except be a cell. They're a plant, essentially, you know. And so, you know, it's hard to count that as a living organism, you know, because it doesn't have any of those paramecium features. But you also wouldn't, you know, sperm cells shouldn't count either, because they are so, you know, just a couple of features and that's all they are. You know, there's really so little to their function also. But so anyway, so I'm getting into the complexity of how you do it, you know, by the fact that it's an individual organism or by weight on Earth or something. But anyway, just be interesting to have a number, like 15 seconds or something. You know, what would the number be? Because some things, you know, the life cycle is so fast, and, you know, some things are so slow, but the some things that are really slow aren't as numerous as the things that live and die very fast. So anyway, it's just one of these averaging things, just like I'd like to know the statistics for how many humans answer a certain question a certain way. I mean, do you believe in angels or whatever it is? You know, you get survey says kind of results, but, you know, they're not, they can't be trust much as polling data. But anyway, you know, you got to ask questions that get to the core of it, more directly. So anyway, but that would be the theme of what I think of as the different games you could design in terms of that would give people an appreciation for this dark side of life without, you know, being just depressing and having some, you know, engaging puzzle, struggle, success, failure kind of thing, some capacity to change the odds or overcome the odds. You know, they can do this visceral living, you know, through some simulated adventure that would make it clear just what the game is. You know, like the game would be to successfully have kids without them failing, you know, without them being tortured. Because logically you would say if you create a kid and it ends up being tortured, that's your failure, you know, and that would be a pretty hard thing to live past in terms of a deed you did. You know, that you failed to protect it, you failed to prepare it, you failed to bake it correctly, and, you know, it was a big failure, not a little failure. It's like you failed to steer your car on the road and you know, ran somebody over. It's not the kind of failure you just, you know, put somewhere and say, that's not meaningful. That won't bother me. It should bother you, right? Now, obviously, there's a lot of people that don't bother much. I mean, they somehow think somebody else had the kids besides them. You know, it's like the Pyrrho types. You know, my foot did it. I didn't have anything to do with it. My foot did it. You know, my sperm decided to have a baby. I didn't have a baby. That kind of bullshit. You know, fuck. That's just so obviously evasive, and it's just part of the whole psychology of these rooters for the cause, these bandwagon riders, the sheeple, you know, the morons who just keep making the drums beat, keep thinking they're going to win the war kind of thing, no matter how many soldiers die, you know, how much it costs, they just have to win. Anyway, but all that takes, you know, you got to devote some time to engineering something like that. But just this idea of getting some idea, some appreciation, if you're playing the game of life, that, oh yeah, you can't even play it. I mean, your game doesn't even go anywhere if I allow you to start the game as a fly, or, you know, like a maggot, or you start the game as a, you know, all the things you could start the game as, and your life would be pretty meaningless and pretty short. You wouldn't be playing the game very long. There wouldn't be too many success things, you know, to accomplish. And, you know, then in some role-playing, you know, you're the caterpillar, and you're going to get metamorphized into a butterfly. And the fact is that could actually be torture. I mean, you know, nature wouldn't care. You know, nature really wouldn't care if it, you know, it literally ripped you into pieces, you know, pulled your head off and, you know, ripped your appendages off while your head was still connected, let's say, your brain. If it worked, you know, as long as it turned you into a new organism that successfully accomplished a task, it wouldn't really care how much torture it put you through in the process, because it doesn't have any appreciation that there is any such thing as torture. So it doesn't mean anything to it. It doesn't, it's not a value to be protected in this whole process. So there's all these places where, you know, we can assume, oh, it doesn't mean anything, when of course it means something. And people do that to animals, all right? I mean, you could argue that, yes, the world's getting more sensitive. The humans are acquiring at least enough information, you know, in some form. Now, see, there's another point where maybe it's just cartoons are helping. I don't know. I mean, what has made people a little more, a little more capable of recognizing that they have some responsibility to animals, you know, that they're not just tools, or they're not for utility. You don't have a cat just because it kills rats and all that shit. You know, that there's something, you know, there's something better than that as a incentive and purpose and point in having relationship to animals. They're not just tools. They're not just property. Well, tool, I guess, is the better concept, because that's what they have been for all the previous centuries, and they're less of that now. But in a way, you could just say they're emotional tools. You know, forced friends, you know, they're still on a leash, you know, that kind of thing. they're still arbitrarily, based on what people have in their head, decisions made for them, you know, that they might not make if they were making it for somebody else, and they'd be more aware of whether they're torturing the somebody else. You know, when they sign them up to have their bits of surgery or bits of something else to preserve their life, you know, especially when it's in the context that, you know, it's likely, it's highly likely that the animal's going to endure quite a bit of suffering, because they can't say, I need more pain meds. You know, they can't let you know that this isn't good enough. Which brings up other just horrible stories from the past. You know, what scientists did in the past, which was, you know, just so gross that even the smart people, you get little pieces where you say, gee, at least somebody was saying it was dumb. You know, like Newton apparently was quite sensitive to the welfare of animals, and but at the Royal Institution, you know, they were dissecting living dogs. You know, I mean, they were doing things that were just grotesque. You know, doing surgery without any anesthetic on animals. I mean, just unimaginable bad ideas. You know, and somehow they did this with zeal. And, you know, and you're just saying, how could humans be that fucking stupid? I mean, how could a human ever be dumb enough to think that's okay? No problem. It's fun. And so, and again, what makes humans now any different? And it just means, it just depends on what culture they're maturated in, I suppose, whether they ever hear somebody say something so simple as, well, gee, that's a dumb idea. So if nobody says it's a dumb idea, they somehow think it's a good idea. You know, cockfights and dogfights and all the other stuff people still do in other cultures that we're supposed to respect or somehow appreciate. Fuck that. Yuck. So, I depressed myself again. Anyways, I'll be back. Alright, so what occurred to me is maybe a video game like Lab Rat or Feral Cat, you know, and you play the game based on what your odds are. And part of me would say that, yes, what you're really saying is you know what the objective of the game would be is to try to play the game where you die the quickest and the simplest and the easiest versus, you know, being injected with a whole bunch, you know, surviving your lab rat experience, actually being diseased and then cured so you can be diseased again and cured again and, you know, go repeatedly through a whole bunch of horrific processes of, you know, being sliced open and having your organs fiddled with and all of that crap. Just how bleak. And maybe that game would give people some appreciation for, you know, what we're playing for. You know, in the Feral Cat one where, you know, you don't make any decisions. You just end up pregnant and you end up with 5 kittens and then you have to watch them, you know, little Fluffy and Buffy and whatever, that gets an eye infection, and all of a sudden now it's got a, you know, it's got less than a 50-50 chance of making it through the next 2 weeks or something, you know, and it'll be, you know, just this idea of realizing just how much carnage there is. And then even for the human life, you know, you can play the game on all kinds of different levels. As a world human, you know, what are your statistical odds? What's your real life expectancy versus, you know, an American human? You know, and people with advantages. And, you know, so, you know, it'd be, you know, there's this, you know, I think it's somewhere on the internet. I remember seeing it. You know, where they break it down to like a statistical roll of the dice. You know, every year of your life, you're basically going to roll the dice, you know, on New Year's Eve. And there's a certain odds, you know, how many skull and crossbones are on the dice of you dying in any one year, you know, just as a statistical entity. Now, obviously, you could give that more meaning by, you know, your statistics versus cigarette smoker versus not smoker, drinker versus not drinker, you know, all these little college educated, not college educated, you know, different professions, all of those risks could be put into the game just so people could realize, you know, and just play the game out and just watch how, you know, with each year the numbers get worse and worse, you know, and by the time you're in your, I think it's your late 80s, might be 90s, you know, it's 50-50, you know, every year you're rolling the dice and there's a 50-50 chance, you know, it's going to be snake eyes, you know, that's all that's on the dice now, you know, is, you know, and you're, you know, and for each one of those years you have to face dice rolling day, you know, where you're just a statistic and, you know, the odds are really getting against you making it another year. And just playing that out in a synthetic way might give somebody appreciation for what's happening to them in their real life, the fact that this is what we're doing. And it's, you know, there's a whole bunch of fake bullshit that can happen to you. This has nothing to do with your decisions, you know. The neighbor's house burns down, it burns your house down, you know. Plane crash. Lots of different ways your life can be ruined. And it's not going to have anything to do with you controlling anything. And then there's all the little subtle time bombs ticking, you know, whether you're going to get cancer or heart disease or whatever, some sort of bullshit right now, you know, it's just getting ready to fuck you and you don't know anything about it, but it's a statistical reality and it's going to be a reality in your life, and there's going to be these, you're going to have to face those circumstances, and I certainly don't do that voluntarily. I certainly wouldn't sign up for it. Yeah, I'm in it, so I'm going to play because I'm in the game, but I wouldn't put me in the game. I wouldn't put anybody in the game because it's a stupid game. If you play it out, it's a stupid game. You know, you learn how to do some things, you figure out some shit, you acquire some sort of functionality, and then it's all downhill. It's all just watch it fall apart. Watch you lose. You know, you run the 3-minute mile, and then you work your way up. You know, you refine it, you know, so nicely, and then you just have to watch it all degrade. It's like you're chipping a diamond. You make the perfect little diamond, and then you just have to watch it melt because it's ice. You know, and shit. Who would volunteer for that? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to say, hey, what a great idea. Let's do that over again. You know, no. I mean, frankly, you can see it happens to a lot of people. A lot of, you know, celebrity types don't fade away and gracefully die, you know, because it is a bit of a shocking, depressing reality, you know, that their best years are always behind them. And who the fuck wants that? Who wants to live that way in that context of degrade and, every day all you can expect is, more tremors. You know, who wants that? Fuck that. And who would, like I said, who signed people up for this? But, you know, there are people, you know, who probably get, you know, they probably make a living raising lab rats, you know, some kind of bullshit like that. You know, it's probably all industry now, but, you know, just, ugh. I couldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. Especially not for this pitiful civilization. I mean, even if you can make the argument, oh, it's for the greater good. No, it isn't. Because we're not doing any greater good shit. Most humans aren't doing greater good shit. They're just annoying, smelly pieces of shit that make everything cost more than it should because they're so inefficient in everything they do. Ugh, yuck. Alright, sorry. I'm depressed again. Alright, so what came into mind was, you know, just again the rationalizations people use to make defenses and all that kind of stuff. And I thought about, you know, there are a couple of preacher types have said things like, well, yeah, if there was no God, they wouldn't want to live. So. And, you know, who knows how honest that is, because, frankly, I don't think any of these preachers actually believe in any of this shit. They're just, you know, they're just con artists, you know, making money off of a congregation of morons. But maybe they actually understand that maybe some of their congregation actually thinks that way. Well, if there is no God, isn't this just awful? You know, and, you know, they're... You know, there's people where you just say, yeah, okay, maybe they're just so stupid that they really can't do any of this thinking about it thing and figure out how, yeah, religion's just a story. It's just a theory. And it's a really stupid theory. You know, it's really no evidence. The whole thing is just such a pile of crap. But then you get into the context of the people who, you know, they did some drugs and they had some wacky, you know, psycho crap go on in their head and they think they met God, and so they think God is real because they met him when they were, you know, stoned. I mean, again, that's so stupid. How could you fall for that? And then, you know, some people have dreams or they have some other thing and they think, you know, well, that couldn't have just happened. Or, they, you know, just some stupid coincidence in their life where they actually prayed for something and it actually happened. Something very unlikely happened, and they prayed for it, and therefore there must be a God because, gee, that never works, and it worked for me. So they believe. But, I mean, you can't, it's hard to make anything rational out of that belief. But just the fact that that underlying concession might exist, you know, that people without some, like there's one stupid, optimistic, moronic idea that really is in the way. It's not like they have a whole bunch of moronic ideas that are in the way from them conceding that, well, this is really dumb. You know, the game really is stupid. I mean, if evolution's the truth, when we're just robots, we're just fish singing and dancing, yeah, this is really stupid. They might concede the point. But they have one stupid, moronic idea that keeps them from conceding the point. You know, or they're distracted by, you know, some agenda, you know. Personal problem where they think their people are going to win the Olympics, and so they have to continue playing the game because they're pretty sure, you know, my niece is going to win the Olympics or something. You know, they have to hang around for that, and they have to make sure, you know, the world appreciates it because that's really important to them. You know, some sort of crap like that, some little personal ego crap that, you know, makes it possible for somebody to dismiss all the carnage because they're doing something so important. I mean, it's just so important that, well, it doesn't matter if a few hundred people die, you know, whatever it is, some kind of bullshit. You know, like, you could even make that argument for things like football, right? I mean, you have to concede that, okay, football, it's, you know, it's a nice little soap opera for the men to watch. And that's all it is. It's a soap opera. It's just some little silly, little struggly story you watch, and you have your little heroes, and you're hoping your little heroes will win. It's so soap opera. It's just as bad as some, you know, old lady glued to the tube to see if the, you know, doctor's going to fuck the nurses, and what's, you know, the little relationship. You know, is the wife going to find out? Same bullshit. Just same story done over and over and over and over and over, and you fall into the trap. But, you know, they'll justify paralyzing kids for football, for, you know, a really stupid game. there's lots of other games, right, where you don't have to paralyze kids and it's a good contest and blah, 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 blah. So, I mean, why wouldn't you migrate off of that junk food and, you know, pick a sport to, you know, support that has something to do with a human activity that might mean something, or having attributes or skills that actually might be useful. You know, it doesn't have to be chess competitions. It could just be something better than, you know, or spelling bees. But, I mean, just, you know, you can't see how it'd be so much smarter for you to support something that has to do with encouraging humans to be better than doing dog tricks. I mean, you know, it's a dog and pony show, you know, these stupid sporting events. And, you know, they make heroes out of them. It's just, you know, come on. Come on. Just acknowledge it's just your personal problems that make that meaningful. It can't be made meaningful by any rational definition. So just accept that and say, okay, I'll die watching football. Go ahead, die watching. You know, we have lots of recorded football. You know, just watch the recorded stuff. Don't do anything to defend addicting another generation to bullshit. But our civilization can't even do simple things like that. It can't do anything to encourage people to up the game a little. And, you know, in some ways it's just going so spiraling down the degrade, the backtracking, the going backwards, because even the chess players aren't what they used to be. I mean, even the, you know, the whole, what's the point of being a scientist when they're just becoming religious gurus, you know, in my opinion. But anyway, that's a whole different subject. I guess we'll call that enough of a video. Close enough. Yeah, working on it. It's just, like I said, you know. it's especially winter. Winter's just kind of so, so bleak for me personally. That's, you know, difficult to endeavor to persevere. So I'm not as productive. But anyway, I'll work on it. Try harder. Whatever that means. Yeah, okay. I'll try the same amount, probably. And, whatever. Yeah, it's irritating. I mean, I'd like to be able to do better than this, but, you know, just... I haven't figured out exactly how to do that. I'm dancing as fast as I can, blah, blah, blah. You know, whatever the bullshit is people use to make excuses. That's my excuse. So anyway, yeah, it really is enough. So, till the next time, when I'll have probably some other subject. There's a lot of little subjects here, you know, a lot of subcategory of subject. So, they all could use some further elaboration. And all that. So, food for thought. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's enough. Alright, so this has been DoNotGod.com video presentation. And of course, Google's evil, and our civilization can't even do anything about that. That stupid marketing company controlling the internet. It's just such a bad idea.